Tuition costs are rising, student loan debt is mounting, and that makes a college a tough financial decision for anyone. But it's nearly impossible for the 58,000 or so college students who were homeless last year. That's the latest number from FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. Kennesaw State University recently unveiled a first-of-its-kind housing facility to help students at risk of homelessness. And Marcy Stidham joins us. She's the director of the Campus Awareness Resource and Empower Center, CARE for short, at Kennesaw State University. Good morning, Marcy.
Good morning.
CARE is new.
CARE is only 5 years old, so it's pretty new. It's grassroots, and not many places have that kind of program.
Right. We couldn't find any other place that offers this particular kind of program. And when you say grassroots, this started because you had one case, one student that you needed to help.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I got a call from our residence life director. He asked, do we help homelessness? And even at that point, I said, there's campus homelessness. And so,
because you had dorms, you thought if they needed a place to live, they'd go live in the dorms.
Of course. And I do have, as most people do, I assume kids or students in college had the same experience I did. So I start with that one student, and now we've served hundreds.
Do you have a total on how many?
Well, between the campus pantry, we serve over 150 students almost every year.
Which is exactly as it sounds, a food pantry where they can get food assistance.
Right. And then with our homeless program, we've served, right now, for the past 2 years, we've averaged over 80 students each year. And out of that 80, about 14 last year, we were able to help with financial assistance through our donations. And then we also help foster care youth who are matriculating into college. And right now we're servicing 10 students who are in foster care.
Tell me how the program works. It is temporary, is it not?
The campus apartment is temporary. It's a 14-day cycle, but we can extend it if we need to. But the goal is on a Friday when I typically get referrals for students who are homeless, that's the average. I need to have some place to put them for the weekend so that they have a safe place to stay. And then during that time, myself and my intern MSWs and also my case manager that works with me, we look to find more long-term permanent solutions. And it takes about 2 weeks to do that.
And when you say long-term permanent solutions, you're trying to find them housing or you're trying to find them a job? Or what are you finding for them?
Both. The first thing we always look for is a job, because if we put someone in a housing setting and they can't afford it, you've set them up for failure. So we start looking almost simultaneously for a job. Some of our students have two. We actually have one right now I can think of has three jobs while they're going to school. And then we also at the same time are looking for housing options. Thankfully, KSU has year-round housing. So for a lot of our students, if we can get them on campus, that resolves that homeless situation for them. But for other students, we look for off-campus housing, especially if they have children.
So there has been an increase of 75%, 75% increase in homeless college students in the past 3 years. That's, again, according to FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. You're working one-on-one with many of these students. Any idea why such an increase?
One, they know to break the poverty, the cycle of poverty, they need to go get a college education. You can't. Everyone lets you know you really need an higher education, technical degree at minimum, 4-year degree, just so you can be able to have the American dream.
Okay, so that more students who may not have gone to college before and may have fewer resources are now going to college.
Yes, and college became easier to get into in 2007 with the College Open Access law that passed in the federal government. Also, we have a lot of students who are specifically on our homeless side. They have homeless liaisons from K through 12th grade. And so that's a federal mandate. Every publicly funded K through 12 school in the United States has a homeless liaison. They're doing a phenomenal job. And those youth are doing well. A couple of years ago, the average graduation rate in Georgia was mid-70s, and the graduation rate for the homeless youth was in the high 70s. So they're doing better than average. So they, too, deserve to go. I've met students who are robotic scholars, but they're homeless. So it doesn't mean they're not capable. It's just they don't have the same access to resources.
And they may not be able to get a student loan.
Right.
Even if they did, they may not want to, since the nation has $1.3 or so trillion dollars in student loan debt.
Yes. There's a huge fear with this new recession group. These are kids who have lived through the new recession. And so they are very afraid of loan and borrowing. So they're trying to muster it up by themselves. And so they're a great crew of students to work with, but life has happened to them indeed.
We would love to hear from you out there listening. What suggestions would you have to help homeless students? Were you ever homeless or couch surfing as a college student? You can tweet us at OST Talk or join the conversation at Facebook. My guest is Marcy Stidham. She's director of the CARE Center at Kennesaw State University, which is a very unique program to help homeless students. And I've read that part of the problem with homeless students is the stigma attached to it, that it is sometimes difficult to get kids who are homeless to actually come and seek help. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, it's extremely true. They have to self-identify. So that means you're telling someone who is trying to not be labeled, you have to accept a label. And to accept that label, then you have to accept help. And they're determined to make sure that they can make it on their own.
They don't want to be called homeless.
They don't want to be called homeless. They just want to be normal. I mean, doesn't everybody? And so they deserve to be treated normal. And so I give them a lot of respect and a confidentiality as best as I can to protect them. And then what happens is I have some students, as you saw with the stories that they told on television last week, they were willing to tell their stories because they said, we need people to know what you are doing for us so other people will come out. And that has happened. Since the stories have come out, we have talked to probably 10 or 12 students who had some different issues. Some students were just dealing with basic poverty issues, but we have now assessed 3 or 4 students who are literally homeless. Like a young guy came to the office yesterday with just a suitcase. That's all he has. That's everything.
So where do most of the students go? Where do you place most of them? Do they end up in dorms? Do they end up in an off-campus apartment?
Most we work to get on-campus housing. The majority, like I said, we don't give everybody financial assistance because this is completely functions as a nonprofit within the confines of the university. So we live off donations. But the majority we help to get on-campus jobs. And that is just a saving grace right there so that they can have employment and have pride that they are investing in their own future. But we do look for off-campus housing. If a youth is about to be evicted and we've assessed, okay, if they get evicted, they have nothing else, we try to prevent the eviction and help them get at least caught up and make sure that they can afford forward going.
You very quickly skipped over the fact that you guys exist by donations. I was surprised to see how many donations come in from actual Kennesaw State University faculty and staff.
Isn't that awesome? Yes, they're wonderful. Most of our donations are $25 a month, and you just don't know how much that small donation means because those dollars add up to me being able to help a student stay in housing, purchase a meal plan, get a gift card, different things like that. So it is amazing.
What do you make, though, of this change in our educational function? And this is not just happening in college. This is happening in schools as well, where you're not just in charge of what's going into a student's brain, but faculty and staff are having to think about their life, where they live, the kind of clothes. Many schools have started installing, I'm talking about grade schools, have started installing washers and dryers.
Yes.
And here it's even gotten to the college level. Mm-hmm. And this is not something that they really had to deal with or were responsible for 20, 30, 40 years ago. What do you make of that?
I think society is changing. You know, it does take a community to raise a child, and I think the community is so overstressed and overburdened right now. Parents don't have the same access to resources that they used to. Families are dispersed, they're displaced. When you're working with homeless youth, sometimes their parents are incarcerated, or sometimes the whole family is homeless. When you're talking about foster care youth, something had happened to that family where now they're a ward of the state, but it doesn't mean that child is not capable. So I think society is changing, and educational system, we have to adapt and we have to change with it, or we're going to be teaching on a 1970s model in a millennial style, in a new millennium, and that the new student now is coming with complex issues, mental health, substance abuse history, but they also come from a place of poverty, and the recession is a big factor in that fact. But I think it's very inspiring that people who come from such struggles are trying to be a part of and be a productive member of our future society. So,
but what kind of pushback do you get? Because you can imagine someone saying, look, maybe if they're homeless, this is not the right time to go to college. And you're nodding your head. You must hear this quite a bit.
Yes, yes. It's gotten a little bit less. But in the beginning, there were people saying, well, then they need to go to a they need to go somewhere else. They need to go to go get a job. Yeah. It takes a while to get a job. And now most jobs, you need a degree. And if you're bright, but I go back to him and I say, but if you're bright enough to be an engineer, I've had students who are health science majors and nursing majors. If you're smart enough, why does your situation dictate your future? Shouldn't we all be able to launch from where we are? Even if you need a little bit of a hand up. No, my kids don't get a handout. They come back and they pack bags just like everybody else so they can help other students get food bags. And they donate their time. And I've had some of my graduates bring back food because they're paying it forward. They're investing in these youth because they know what we're trying to do. So, again, they deserve it. They, if you're capable and it takes a small investment, that's what you should see it as. It's a small investment and the return is great.
That is Marcy Stidham. She is director of the CARE Center at Kennesaw State University. Marcy, thank you so much.
Thank you.